Good to see you this evening. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19, where we read, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now, we've started our study of Galatians, and we know that that entire letter is really written to address the Judaizing doctrine and the Judaizing teachers and the false charges that they were making against Paul. But as you read the New Testament, whether it's Romans or Hebrews or as we're seeing here in 1 Corinthians, it becomes very apparent that the most prevalent false doctrine in the church during the first century was this Judaizing doctrine. There's just a vast amount of material that is written to counter that false doctrine. But as we notice this morning from Galatians chapter 5, this is very similar to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. If you're circumcised, it will profit you nothing. But notice here, he says, circumcision is nothing. Well, it had been something, hadn't it? Under the Jews, it had been something. Under the Mosaic law, if you weren't circumcised, then you weren't of the people of God. Uncircumcision is nothing. What are you saying? He said, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Basically, that's what he's saying. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. We could expand this to other places where it says it doesn't matter whether you're old or young or male or female, or, you know, the list could go on and on and on. What is something, you might say? I mean, a circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. What is something? Well, here's the point that he's making. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Have you ever thought about it in this sense? You know, so many times, you know, when you talk to people, at least when I talk to people today, what they want to talk about is the grace of God. I don't have a problem talking about the grace of God, but they've got a different view of grace than the Bible does. Or they want to talk about faith. I don't have a problem talking about faith, but when they talk about faith, they're talking about a feeling. The Bible, when it talks about faith, it's talking about that which comes by hearing the word of God and that which is doing the will of God that we hear from his word. People today want to talk about the love of God. I don't have a problem talking about the love of God, but we're not talking about an emotion here or how to love God. You know, do you love God? When the Bible talks about us loving God, it's really not talking about an emotion. It's talking about agape, a sincere interest in the welfare of others. And the primary other in that particular case, if I love God, the primary other in that case is loving God and doing on this earth, in this life, what would honor and glorify Him. And so I think that when you get in a discussion with people today on the subjects of grace and faith and love and mercy and all of those things that are wonderful Bible subjects and things that those who are in Christ certainly rejoice that we abide in them, I think it's important that we impress upon the people that we're speaking with statements like this. Have you ever thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19? That keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now, you might say, well, that sounds kind of, I don't know, impersonal and cold and, you know, kind of maybe even academic, I guess you might say, going through the motions. So you're saying keeping the commandments of God, are you saying that we're saved by works? Well, your faith has to work, doesn't it? Well, James said in James chapter 2, your faith has to work. If it doesn't work, it's not faith. So Yeah, but it's not our works, as Ephesians chapter 2 explains to us. It's the works of God. I want to notice some things with you tonight. It's a pretty simple lesson, but don't you find that the Word of God, for the most part, is pretty simple? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37 says, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." Isn't this what you invariably get into? The enlightened ones? You know, who see beyond what's written and into what they would say really matters. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, what's the test of your teaching? That's what Paul is saying here. Now, Paul was, you know, remember, this is the first century when people had the gift of prophecy, of telling forth the mind of God. This was in that period of time when the Holy Spirit did empower people with miraculous gifts. But Paul is making a very important point here. This is how you test yourself if you think yourself to be a prophet or spiritual or enlightened or whatever other term you want to use. And this is how you test those who come across. They might have a logical argument. It might sound good. It might appeal to you. It might tickle your ears. But here's the point. The things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. If keeping the commandments of God is what matters, then how do I know what the commandments of God are? The things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. The things written. We're very familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for telling us where we're wrong, for correction, for telling us how to correct what we've done wrong, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know what is righteous? Then we need to turn to the Scriptures, that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. God hasn't forgotten anything. He hasn't left out anything. And so many times people say, well, yeah, I know what is written, but, you know, things have changed and we've kind of, there's been an evolution, you know, that's taken place here perhaps in our thinking and our doctrine and that sort of thing. Well, I would acknowledge that there's been an evolution in our doctrine, but should there have been? You know, people are teaching things that are not found in the Word of God. That's the point. Amen. If I'm going to keep the commandments of God, and that's what matters, then I need to acknowledge that the things that are written are the commandments of God, and the things that I feel might be right, if they're not in agreement with the things that are written, they're not the commandments of God, and I dare not keep them. Jesus said it this way, of course, as we notice so many times, John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we also often refer to, especially here lately, we've been referring to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. This is the whole purpose of man, to revere God and to keep his commandments. If I revere God, I will keep his commandments. I won't try to change them. I won't try to make the commandments of God adapt to what I feel. I will do what his word says, and just what his word says. As we continue in John chapter 14, and we noticed this morning, but this is an important passage of Scripture. You know, so many times I talk to people and say, well, I want to have a personal relationship with God. So do I. So does God want to have a personal relationship with us. And I think this is the closest instruction we have and the clearest instruction we have as to how we have that personal relationship. You know, so many times when people talk about a personal relationship with God, they're just talking about, well, this is the experience that I had, and this is the feeling that I have. Well, this is what Jesus said about it. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him, make myself known to him, basically is what he's saying there. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will make yourself known to us and not make yourself known to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You know, it's not that Jesus doesn't want to make himself known to everyone. Has the word of God, is the word of God available to everyone? Sure. And everyone who wants to keep the commandments will have this love for God and will keep his word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Does that sound personal to you? We, my Father and I, will come to the one who keeps my commandments. And they keep my commandments because they love me, because they revere me and love me. They keep my commandments. My Father and I will come and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And so, what's the problem? Why is it that he can manifest himself to them, but not manifest himself to the world? Well, the world does not keep his words. The word isn't interested in keeping his words. The world doesn't think that keeping the commandments of God is what matters. But there's the point. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Now let me ask you a question. Are you here this evening and you know that you're not keeping the words of God? You haven't turned from your sin. You haven't confessed Christ. You haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you're here and you're a child of God. You know that you're living outside the favor of God because of the transgressions you continue to embrace and practice. Why do we say that we love him and not keep his word when he reproves us and corrects us? Why do we say we love him and then are not baptized? Why do we say we love him and then not keep his word? In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5, 1 John, the epistle, he says, now, by this we know that we know him. Notice the terminology here. It's not by this we feel that we're in a relationship with him, or by this we feel that we feel him. I'm not talking about emotions here. We're talking about this is how you know him. I know. If we keep his commandments. Notice he goes on to say, I mean, this is one of the, sometimes people say, Doug, you're kind of to the point on a lot of things. This is one of the most pointed, clearest statements I think that you can make in regards to this subject. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And it's kind of like Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu, do you think that they felt that they loved God? Do you think that they felt that God loved them? I think they felt that. I might be wrong. But knowing human nature, Nadab and Abihu probably felt that they loved God. Now, did Nadab and Abihu know what their responsibilities were to the altar of incense? How to light it? Did they know where they were supposed to get the fire from? Take into the holy place and light the altar of incense? Yep, they knew that. They knew the commandments of God. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? What did they do? They offered unto God, it says in the King James Version, strange fire, foreign fire. And then it defines that for us, which God commanded them not. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. I don't know what was going through their mind. It might have been they thought, what makes the difference where the fire comes from? All that matters is that we light the incense. Can you see where that would, can you follow that line of reasoning? I can follow it. I can see where they're going with that. But I can also see where they're not keeping the commandments of God when they go there. Can you see that? And so when people introduce things that are not in the commandments of God, whether it's instruments of music and worship to God, where do you get, where are the commandments in the doctrine of Christ for that? Well, it's not there. So why would you introduce that? Well, I just feel that it's okay, and I feel that I love God and that God loves me. You see where that's going? By this we know that we know him. If we keep his, keeping his commandments is what matters. You see that? In 1 John chapter 3, same letter, the first two verses, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We who have sinned, we who have lived for ourselves, we who have transgressed his way, we who God created to live to his glory and did not live to his glory. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. I want you to notice that. Why is it that, I mean, why isn't every seat in every pew full tonight? Why is it that we don't have churches of Christ and only churches of Christ, not only all over Bowling Green, but all over the United States and America, all over the world? Why is that? Why is it that people think that we're strange? The world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, here's the question. Do you know him? How do you know that you know him? Previous point. Keep his commandments. And so, if they're not keeping the commandments, they're not interested in keeping commandments, not only do they not know God, but they do not know us and they don't understand us. And so, you have people like Hillary Clinton saying, Christians need to be re-educated. she doesn't know. Here's the sad thing. She doesn't want to know. She doesn't care about knowing. She's not interested in knowing. The world does not know us because it did not know him. You can't know God unless you revere him and keep his commandments. Beloved, now we are the children of God. How are we the children of God? Behold the love of God that we should be called the children of God. How is it that we are now the children of God? We keep his commandments. It has not been yet revealed what we shall be after this life, what we will look like and all of those types of things. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, there's a sense in which we are becoming like him now, right? I mean, we're not like what we were before we kept his commandments, are we? We're not like that. There's a lot of ways in which we are like him now because we keep his commandments. But he's talking about the hope that we hold on to, of being with God and Christ in eternity, in the presence of God, in the heavenly realm. Why do we embrace that hope? Because we know him. Because we keep his commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 2 through 4, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God." You know, see, it's not just a matter of this is how we know that we love God. This is how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And so when we keep his commandments, we love God and we love the children of God. The children of God are identified as such because they keep his commandments. What if there are children of God who don't keep his commandments? Well, we're not in fellowship with them. They're not in fellowship with us. They're not in fellowship with God. That's the point that he's making there. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we keep his commandments. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What is our faith? It is keeping the commandments of God in action, hearing and doing his will, just as he's revealed it in his word. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6. John says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments." What does he mean by that we walk according to his commandments? It means that we live according to his commandments. That we live day by day and as we take one step at a time, maturing in Christ, we do so in accordance with his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Walk in it. Don't change it. Don't modify it. Just live what he says. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, very plain statement. It says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." It's not "blessed are those who know his commandments." It's not "blessed are those who teach his commandments." It's "blessed are those who keep his commandments." Because, you see, keeping the commandments is what matters. "That they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city, the holy city of heaven." Who's going to heaven? Who's going to heaven? Those who keep his commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? Is it your desire to keep his commandments? You know some of the very basic commandments. In fact, this lesson about the commandments is very basic, isn't it? But as we notice this morning, and often, so often, John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." So do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind? Good. But it doesn't stop there. He's not talking about an acknowledgement, as we talked about this morning. He's talking about trusting and obeying Him. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't trust Him and obey Him. They're not interested in doing that. Are you interested in doing that? Are you interested in turning from your sin to walk with Christ and keep His commandments, to have God live in you by you knowing and keeping His commandments and living for Him? Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you will perish." That's a commandment. When those on the day of Pentecost asked, "What shall we do?" the first thing Peter said was, "Repent." It's not a suggestion. This is what you must do. You must repent. You must turn from what you were and what you were doing and turn to Christ and do what Christ tells you to do. Will you turn to Him? Turn from your sin and turn to Him? Will you confess Him as the Son of God? Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Do you want to be saved? Say, "Well, yeah, I want to be saved." Have you kept this commandment? If not, why not? Why not tonight keep this commandment and continue then to abide in His Word? And by doing so, be a true disciple, knowing the truth, living the truth, and being set free from all manner of error. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Jesus loves me, this I know.